looking at this week. And we've had the explanation about it's covering the letters of the alphabet. So there's a section for each letter of the alphabet, Hebrew alphabet, which I guess helped people learning scriptures to learn each section more easily. But I must admit, I was looking in one of my Bibles, which is, I must admit, is an abridged Bible. It doesn't actually have Psalm 119 in there. Of course, it's got Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. It's got Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it's got Psalm 51, which is, I think, David's confession of guilt. But, of course, when you are making an abridged Bible, you want to take out some of the bigger bits. But I think what they're saying is that these words of Psalm 119 can be found elsewhere, or the meaning behind them can be found elsewhere within the Bible. So, of course, I have a Bible with Psalm 119 in it, but I do like using this Bible to quote from, because it's an abridged one, but it says it's designed to be read as living literature, and it's mainly on the King James Version, but it's really, really good. And what I'll be doing is reading through this section of Psalm 119 and then just illustrating from Scripture what those verses really mean and what they signify, because I found that quite helpful. Rather than just have a whole load of commands or prayers, which is what Psalm 119 is. And we've had the background to it from the previous 2 weeks. We had an excellent introduction from Sheila in the first week. I missed last week, but I heard something about Cherry being blindfolded and the direction that we're going to be sent in when we follow the word of the Lord. So, where am I? So, I think we can look at each verse and let's see where we go, because I've got some illustrations from Scripture to help us. We'll call this section C of the psalm. We've had A and B so far. I'm just going to read again from each verse, really, in a couple of versions. So the first verse, verse 17, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. So that's an instruction to us to request the Lord to deal well with us. And I've also got this version, crown thy servant with life, to live faithful to thy command. So we're coming to the Lord and saying, please bless us in our lives. Please be with us. Give us everything that we need. Deal bountifully with us. Crown us with life, abundant life, which we know from the words of Jesus. So bless me, Lord, in my life. This is what it's saying. Make it good. Make my life good. We do need to hear these words again and again, because we can forget. Because we need to stay close to God who loves us so much. There's so much trust in these words, so much acknowledgement from the psalmist to God that complete safety and protection is with God. So we need to rely on Him 100% of the time to stay safe. And then verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Open my eyes, Lord, so I can see you. Clear sight be mine to contemplate the wonders of thy law. So again, we're coming back to the law of the Lord. Reveal, O Lord, the wonders of your law to us. Make me understand how wonderful it is, opening the eyes of the blind to know you through the wonders of your law, so we can love you more and more and help others to see too. So at this point, I went off on a tangent. I went off to find, because we got the story in, I think, Mark and Luke about the blind Bartimaeus who requests the Lord for his sight. And I always thought that was, I hadn't read it for a long time. I always thought that he wasn't already, didn't really know about Jesus. He was just a blind guy. But actually, he is already knowing who Jesus is. And that's how he works out that he can be healed. So it's not like Bartimaeus is someone who doesn't know already know who the Lord is. It's just he needs to see in order that he can follow him. Lord, I need to see so I can actually follow you. I can actually, because you're walking around healing and doing miracles. I want to follow you and I want to be part of it. I want to read that to you, actually, if I've got it here. Yeah, I've got it in my Bible. This is my abridged Bible, so it won't take as long. I've got to find it. And they came to Jericho. I'm going to be mentioning Jericho later as well. And as he went out of Jericho, as I said, the story is much different to what I expected. Bartimaeus already knows who Jesus is. He just needs to be able to see. His eyes need to be able to see so he can actually just physically follow Jesus. So where is it? Oh, yeah. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. So following Jesus in the way means he immediately followed him as if he were a disciple. And I always thought that that parable or that story was because he wasn't a follower, but he already knew who Jesus was. That's what struck me, and I thought it was really worth mentioning it, because we've just read in the psalm, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. This guy Bartimaeus already knew the law. He already knew who Jesus was. He says, thou son, son of David. And then, clear sight be mine to contemplate the wonders of thy law. So really, that's not a good example of that verse in the psalm. It's actually, that verse in the psalm is more towards people who don't know the Lord, or don't know him very well, so that my eyes can be opened, so I can actually see who you are and follow you. So, and we've got this, the song as well, Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord, which is another one about actually, please help me to follow you. I mean, I know who you are, I know the Bible, I know I should be following you, but open up my heart so that I can actually do things, do everything that you want me to do with my life. I think that is a challenging thing. It's all very well knowing it as head knowledge. It's having it in your heart and actually acting out God's law, which we need to do. And I think Bartimaeus, once he had his sight, he was happy. He was just going to follow Jesus. And then we'll come back to Psalm 119, to the next verse, verse 19. So this says, I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. Or in another version, comfort this earthly exile. Do not refuse me the knowledge of thy will. So this verse is saying, I belong to you, Lord, but I'm an exile here because I'm in the world where lots of people don't follow you and I have enemies and people who are trying to threaten me. So here, because I'm away from you, I'm a bit of an exile. But I have a lot to learn from you living here on earth, because there's so many things that I can that can threaten me, and I need to be able to live well in this place without fear and without failure. And what do I need to do to escape my threats and my enemies? And I'm going to go to a situation in the book of Job, because the book of Job is another one where we've got just excellent... Well, I'll tell you the great thing about the book of Job. We actually hear the words of God spoken about Job. I know I'm dotting around, but it's the quote where the Lord says, "Consider my servant Job," because it's when he's having a chat with the devil or Satan, and he's saying, "There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Whence comest thou?' And then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it.' And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Hast thou considered my servant Job? For there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil.'" So everything, I know a lot of other stuff happens after that. But when we consider the life of Job in the context of this verse, he's doing fine. But then challenges come, things go wrong. He's challenged to the point where he has these comforters. This is a great phrase. Job's comforters are of no comfort to him at all. They're actually trying to explain to him why these things are happening, bad things are happening to him in his life, even though previously he's always been so serving of the Lord, and everything he's done, he's been doing all his sacrifices correctly and everything, and everything's been perfect. He's been following the law. But he comes to the point where he could be reading this. Verse himself, Job. He could be saying, "I'm now a stranger in the earth, because so many bad things have happened to me. Hide not thy commandments from me. Comfort this earthly exile. Do not refuse me the knowledge of thy will." So, when it comes to the point where he just doesn't even think he can be in relationship with God anymore because so many bad things have happened to him. I think, you know, we can be challenged by that as well, because we have to follow the way of the Lord. So we have to say, if we see things that are happening that are wrong, we know they're wrong in the eyes of the Lord, we have to stand up against them, not just kind of hide back and not say anything. Because that's the way that we become part of the liberal culture that allows things to just happen, make people to make their own laws, do whatever they like. And of course, we need to remember that when we follow God's law, God's love, we should be able to actually say, right, we know what's wrong, we should be able to stand up against it. And I'm going to come on to that in a minute about some of the things that I've been reading about. But just on Job, everything's going well for him, and then he has some bad things happen, and it ends up that he does renounce his relationship with God. And I know it all comes right in the end, but the challenge becomes just too much, because the devil is allowed to do what he likes with him, basically. And sometimes we might feel that can happen to us here on earth as well, which is why we need the Psalms and we need our relationship with God to help us every time. Okay, so the next verse of Psalm 119 is verse 20. It says, "My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times." In another translation, that says, "Crushed lies my spirit. longing ever for thy just awards. So I think this is the low point of the section of the psalm that we're reading. This is where the psalmist is at his low point, to the point that his soul is breaking for the longing that it has to the judgment of God at all times. His spirit is crushed at the moment. Obviously, there are lots of things going wrong. Perhaps through, as I was mentioning, seeing so much lawlessness, so many things happening that are against the Lord's will, against the law, which has led to personal threats against him. Probably his life may be in danger. And in this context, I happened to watch a YouTube video, which I believe to be true, about a Muslim woman who had a near-death experience. So she was driving in her car behind a lorry whose load was unsafe, and the load fell off the lorry and hit her car. And then it was one of those near-death experiences, so she actually meets Jesus. And then when Jesus explained to her the wrong basis of the Muslim faith, and so she was actually having that explained to her, and also that Jesus is her Savior. And then she wakes up in hospital, and then, of course, she's a devout Muslim woman. She's got husband and children. She then tells them what's happened, and they don't believe her. But what also hit me about the YouTube video was there was over a thousand comments from people as to how difficult it is to leave the Muslim faith to actually become a Christian because of the threat and even to death. You know, it's just, that's why it's so difficult to leave that faith to become a Christian. But this lady is going for it, and I know she's not the only one. There's lots of them, especially if they've had this near-death experience where the truth has been revealed. Yeah, and that I found that quite moving. So what else did I see? Yeah, she woke up in hospital, but of course she's been under a lot of threat since then. But I just pray that she's going to keep going, because she was obviously on the point of death when this happened. So, but they're still saying, oh no, it didn't happen, you're just imagining it. But of course, it is the truth. And then verse 21 of Psalm 119. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Chastener of the proud, thy curse lies on all who swerve from thy covenant. So this is the rebuke of the people who have made their own laws. They've joined other faiths. So aside from the example of Muslims, there is much wrong thinking that becomes the law. So I found the example again in a video about same-sex marriages. So I just happened to catch a video from an American news agency about same-sex marriages have been legal in America, in the states, all states of the United States, for 10 years now. But the good news is that the trend is going away from them. So it's because when you build a law that says, right, same-sex marriages are okay, it becomes stronger and stronger. But now what they're finding in the States is it's becoming more challenged. So it's not as popular. It's reducing. And the tide is turning against it. So that is a good thing. Oh, and then verse 22 of Psalm 119 says, remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Clear me of the reproach that shames me, as I was ever attentive to thy claims. So we know we will receive criticism an attack when we stand up against what Cherry and I call wrong thinking. So if we come to it's a really poor example, but if a driver does something really stupid when we're driving along the road, we call that a person of wrong thinking. We don't actually say that they're anything other than, we don't say they're something that we shouldn't. But a person of wrong thinking is a good one, because it may be a momentary lapse. So we don't want to criticize people too much. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Clear me of the reproach that shames me, as I was ever attentive to thy claims. So everything in the psalm is just about, the psalmist just convincing himself, Lord, I need to seek you at all times. I need to understand what you want for me in every situation. And I also need you to protect me from people of wrong thinking, or people who have a very strong opinion about something and they won't accept what we say. And in every circumstance of life that we come into, we have this opportunity to share what we know about the Lord and his claims upon our life, and the fact that the Lord Jesus came to die for us on the cross, to actually live a perfect life, and that should inspire us to share what we know. But we know how difficult that can be in situations that we're in, where the culture that we live in is now not receptive to Christianity. So we need familiarity with Scripture, and also another thing I looked at this week was the speed that in which we live our lives. And I was seeing another video, which I'll mention in a minute, where it's talking about, are we just looking at our phones so much when we're actually scrolling on our phones that we're not looking up and seeing what's around us? And that kind of struck a chord, because most people anyway have got phones and are on them most of the time. They're great for certain things, like, you know, Christian videos on YouTube and things to help us. I've never seen so much teaching available as I have, you know, in the last few years. I mean, I used to be a preacher a long time ago, 20 years ago, and you didn't have all the information available to you then. You just had to go away and look at the Bible and produce your sermon. But now you can think, oh, well, I know about this. Well, just tell me something about, which I'll talk about in a minute, the walls of Jericho. And then you find there's a whole sermon on what is your Jericho? What is your Jericho actually stopping you advancing as a Christian? Which is, of course, the walls of Jericho, which I'll talk about in a minute. Which is what they had to knock down to get through into the city of Jericho. But I've got one other story first. I'll have a look at the time. Psalm 119. This is the penultimate verse we're looking at. This one really does hit me, because this is to do with another part of a song that I've learnt for my chorus as well. So it says, princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Closeted together, princes plot against me, thy servant that thinks only of thy decrees. So immediately on this, I went straight to King David and his errant son, Absalom, who he loved so much, but who plotted against him and tried to take over and remove him. So it was a power struggle with a sad ending. Absalom, David's son, had plotted against him. The Lord was on David's side, but David's love for his errant son is there for all to see. And I just got a quote from this Bible as well on this, because the song that, or part of, because what we do in our harmony singing is we sing what we call tags, which are just a short part of a song. So you don't have to sing the whole song. You're just making up a harmonies just for like a small section. So the bit that we were singing was actually, I've got it on my Facebook page, when the song, I think, is called When David Heard. When David heard that Absalom was slain, he wept, he wept, he he wept. So he wept is repeated twice for emphasis. And this is the story behind it. So if I've got the right place. So it's a messenger coming to David from the battle. But howsoever, said he, let me run. And he said unto him, run. And Ahimaaz ran by way of the plain and overran Cushi. So one messenger overtakes another on the way to give a message. And David sat between the two gates. And the watchman went up to the roof over the gate unto the wall and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. And the watchman cried and told the king. And the king said, if he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. And the watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called unto the porter and said, behold, another man running alone. And the king said, he also bringeth tidings. And the watchman said, methinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, he is a good man and cometh with good tidings. And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, all is well. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king. So he's bringing back news of the battle. And the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? And Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. And the king said unto him, turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, Cushi came, and Cushi said, tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushi, is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushi answered, the enemies of my lord the king, and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is. So he's dead, basically. And the king was much moved, and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. So you can, what really moves me about that passage is the love of King David for his son, even though his son has plotted against him and basically wants him to take over from him or find a way not to have to have him as king anymore. But the love of David for his son is just so strong. I just went straight to that because of this verse from the psalm about princes, they sit and speak against me. I'll quickly move on, because I've still got this thing about the walls of Jericho to tell you. The last verse, so we're getting towards the end. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Claims lovingly cherished, decrees that are my counselors. So I guess this is a summing up verse of everything that we've read this morning. So every eight verses has a summing up verse at the end. So verse 8 or 24, because it's the third 8 times 3. Thy testimonies are also my delight and my counselors. Claims lovingly cherished, decrees that are my counselors. So a summing up. So just to say thank you, Lord, for your testimonies, because they're my delight. Your testimonies are scripture as we see them, your promises that we know are true, your claims lovingly cherished, decrees that are my counselors. And so just this last thing that I was just going to add, because it explains about how Joshua receives the guidance of God in the moments, or probably the night before, leading up to the destruction of the walls of Jericho, which was part of the escape of the, or rather the progress of the children of Israel in the promised land. So I've been learning this song called Joshua Fit the Battle of Jericho, which has in the chorus, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. This was for a barbershop quartet, and the song tells the story of this city of Jericho, which was protected by surrounding walls, maybe two big sets of walls. What sent me to this story was the, and I need to read this from the actual Bible because this bit is not in my abridged Bible, Joshua 5, 13 to 15. So the end of chapter 5 is where Joshua finds out how they will succeed in overcoming this city of Jericho. And it says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I, now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. So I won't tell you the whole story after that about how the walls came tumbling down. But what I wanted to look at is just the focus of how, when Joshua encounters the servant of the Lord, so he says he's not on either side because he's basically for the Lord, he actually looks up. So he's not looking down thinking, what am I going to do? I've got to knock down this wall of Jericho to get into the city or escape from, because this is the one where they've gone to, they sent the spies out beforehand, and Rahab has looked after the spies. That is that story. And then, for Joshua now, he needs to look up, not look down. He needs to look up, lift up your eyes, open the eyes of our hearts to see this answer, this person. Whose side are you on? We must be on God's side. We must be in his plans. And what's preventing us from looking up? That's why I had this mobile phone thing, because I'm not looking up. I'm actually just checking my phone for everything. So we're too busy. We're too busy to look up. So we have to move this hurry from our lives, I think. Because the more hurried we are, the less chance we have time to look at Scripture and read and understand what the Lord is saying. And that also stops us praying as well when we're so busy. We don't have time to pray. And then the other things we could do is listen to more Christian music in the background, get more involved in community events, and looking at the Bible for Bible study and meditation. Because, of course, with meditation, Cherry had this great idea where it's not just meditation, it's like chewing over the Bible. So chewing over Scripture, a bit like a dog with a bone. You know how they take ages with a bone? It's about taking time with Scripture. And then going back to the Joshua example, he falls face down because he knows this is the servant of the Lord. It's kind of as an act of worship. So what must I do to serve you? And then when we are in that attitude ourselves to God of falling down in worship, don't be surprised at what the Lord says to you and what he's actually going to tell you to do next, because he can work in surprising ways, as we know. And then finally, the third thing that Joshua has to do is take off his shoes or his sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. I think that is kind of a figurative thing. So when we're walking close by with God, that is when we're on holy ground, when he's at our side. That's all I have to say to you this morning. Thank you very much for listening. Let's pray together. Father, I just hope these thoughts will have helped to help us to understand how much we need you, how much we need your love and your law in our lives. We do thank you so much for Psalm 119, which is very important, even though it's not in one of my Bibles. I just thank you, Lord, for what you say in that psalm. And I just hope that some of the things that I've found this week when I've been looking into the background of this psalm will actually help. Because especially the story of Joshua and how he gets close to you, Lord, in that moment leading up to the destruction or the tumbling down. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to speak. And I pray for us all in Jesus' name that we will learn from Psalm 119 and that we will draw closer to you today and in the coming week. And I pray in Jesus' name. Thank you. Amen.